Hello and welcome to Kathleen Can Do It, the DIY podcast for people who love being creative, using their hands to make things, and learning new skills. If you're into interior design, woodworking, graphic design, home decor, gardening, digital illustration, sewing, block printing, upholstery, pottery, and basically everything and anything that fits under the creative hobby category, welcome. This podcast is for you. Let's be friends. And listen, I'm no expert in any of those things. I'm just someone who uses creativity as therapy, and I love learning new things. I'm your host, Kathleen Heaney. You can find me on socials everywhere as Kathleen Loves Color. And today we are chatting with Instagram design star Rebecca Janis from Built by Beck Designs about furniture building and woodworking for beginners. Small projects, or heck, even big projects involving wood, when you're making permanent changes to your home, can be just a little bit scary. But we all have to start somewhere. And if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you know that I have been dragging my damn bum. I wanted to use a word that wasn't bum, but I'll keep this PG for the kids on my first solo episode. Oh, shoot, I'll get into that. I'll get into that in a second. If you've been listening to this podcast, you know that I've been dragging my heels on a kitchen renovation that's basically been going on for a whole year now. I am ever so lucky that my very kind husband hasn't left me out of sheer frustration. But after talking to Rebecca, a lot of pieces of my reno in my mind, they click together. And we actually, in full disclosure, we recorded this interview last month, and I've been going full steam using all of the tips and tricks that Rebecca shared with me. And I'm really so excited for you to experience the magic that is Built by Beck Designs. But first, I want to chat about the little hiatus that this podcast has been on. I missed you all so much. My co-host and home decor partner in crime, Kathleen Martin, announced some very, very big news on Instagram. She is expecting her first baby, a little boy, baby boy Martin. And so she'll be making an announcement pretty soon about stepping away from the podcast. She is going to be so busy being a new mom, and hopefully we'll hear from her this week or maybe in the next coming weeks. She'll pop into the pod to say a little goodbye. And with that, I am going to be taking Kathleen Can Do It solo. I am terrified, but also I am so, so excited. I have some wonderful interviews with other DIY creators lined up for you. And you know what? This podcast is called Kathleen Can Do It because one of my truest fatal flaws, and maybe some of you can relate to this, is the blind confidence that I have in myself when taking on DIY projects / learning new creative skills. Like, I see someone on Instagram do it and I'm like, ah, no problem. I'll just do what they did and then I can do it too. And that is the biggest joke ever because I usually don't have the tools that I need. I usually have no idea where to start when I actually want to start. But if you don't believe in yourself, then who will? So without further ado, here is my lovely and informative conversation with Rebecca Janis from Built by Beck Designs. Thank you for picking up the phone. I appreciate you taking time out of your day to chat with us on the pod.
Oh, you know, I just put the kids down, so I'm ready to go.
Oh, I'm sure you have so much energy.
Tons.
So, Rebecca, I'm calling you up today because the theme of today's episode is not being afraid to take the leap into a new creative endeavor. And you have a very particular skill set. By the way, gentle listeners, you can find Rebecca on Instagram at Built by Beck Designs. And I'll include all of that in the show notes. But Rebecca is a woodworker. She's a furniture maker. She's an excellent DIYer. She puts up her own drywall. She does her own tiling. There's nothing that Rebecca can't do.
You're amazing. Thank you for saying that.
You deserve all of the credit in the world. Rebecca, how did you become such an expert woodworker and furniture maker? Like, where did it all begin for you?
Oh my goodness. I wouldn't say expert, but thank you.
You are an expert compared to like 99% of the population. Okay.
Well, thank you. I will say I made a lot of mistakes, and that's like number one. But I started by building my own dining table.
Just really
decided to one day. And I think it was maybe a couple months before COVID hit. Like so many of us I know have that story, basically. Everything shut down and we're like,
I'm sitting here with my mouth open because that wasn't that long ago. And you have gained so many skills in less than 3 years or just a little over 3 years. My mind is blown. So when you decided to make your own dining room table, what was the thought process behind it? Is it that you couldn't find a style that you like? Did you want to save a couple bucks? Do you have an odd, like, is your dining room shaped like a butternut squash? Like what happened?
Yeah. I do have an odd shaped dining room, but that was not the problem. I became a stay at home mom and we didn't have a ton of money. You know, we were on one income and I was just sick of staring at our IKEA furniture. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I need to buy a new table. Everything online is like thousands of dollars. I'm not going to.
Yes.
Heck no, I'm not going to pay that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? Let's just buy some tools instead and spend money on tools. So the first thing I got was a miter saw. And I started with pine, and I still have my first table. It's sitting right behind me right now. And like, it's still going. It needs a little work, but it's going.
That's incredible.
It's surviving.
So a miter saw, can you quickly explain what a miter saw is?
So a miter saw is basically like a standing overhead saw.
Yeah.
So you basically pull it down, make your cuts.
Yep.
I would recommend getting a sliding miter saw, and sliding means that you can slide it out and make bigger cuts as opposed to a non-sliding, which really won't cut a whole lot of, you know, wider pieces.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of torque to get the wider pieces underneath it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Right.
So you built that, the dining room table. Did your husband say, like, do you think you're, I don't know, do you think you're Bob Vila now? Like, did he have faith in you? Or like, what was that conversation like at home?
Yeah, I'm this old house. This is it. I'm going. I'm diving in. Yeah.
Now, so did you Google it? Did you use anybody's plans? Or did you just be like, I think that this is the size I want? And that's how you went for it.
Yeah. So I looked at a lot of Anna White's plans before I even went for it. Yeah. But I did a lot of, I went for my own design because I, even with her stuff, I couldn't find exactly what I wanted.
Yeah.
And with my size and shape and everything. So I just went for it. And I figured, you know, it's pine. It was like not that expensive. So even if I messed up, I could do it again. That's how you could do it.
You know, it's funny that you're using somebody else's plans to base your dining room table off of. And now you're literally writing your own plans, because it's a goal of mine in 2024 to build the vanity, the custom vanity that you built for your bathroom, because it is so cute. It's so chic. It truly is a timeless vanity without feeling old timey. Like, your design is so beautiful. You talk about using pine. I don't know a whole lot about wood. So your dining room table is pine because you wanted something that if you messed up, the mistake wasn't going to be that expensive. But once you started to get good, like, what is your vanity made out of?
So the vanity's white oak.
Okay.
So it took me a long time to be comfortable being like, I don't want to mess this up, you know?
Yeah. So white oak is expensive?
It's really expensive.
Okay.
Yeah. So today I bought maybe 3 boards that were 8 foot long.
Okay. Of white
oak. And it was almost $400.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah. Yeah. So versus like you go to Home Depot and you buy those boards and it's like maybe $10 a board.
Yeah.
So that's a huge difference. But the difference is durability, longevity, but it's also being comfortable working with those types of woods because each is different, you know, soft wood pine versus hardwood white oak. There's a huge difference.
Durability. Yeah. You bump into softwood pine and, you know, you just step on it too hard with your high heels and it's going to leave a dent.
What are you doing on your table?
Listen, I'm just coyote uglying it here every single night by myself.
Aren't we all? Put the kids to bed, get up on the table.
It's how I entertain myself. So if you're going to paint something, like let's say you're going to paint something, but you still want a hard wood, what type of wood would you recommend?
I would go with poplar. It's fairly inexpensive, but it's like a tight grained wood.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at oak.
Yes.
Oak is an open grain. So you're going to see a lot more of the grain.
Got it.
Right. Poplar is closed grain, which means if you paint it, it's a lot more smooth.
I've seen you build your own cabinet doors, and that's something that I also want to try and do down the line.
Yes, I love it.
I don't know if I own a miter saw. I think I might. I inherited all of my dad's tools, but I did just buy myself a mini circular saw, like a cordless one with a 4.5-inch blade. And it's really handy to be able to kind of take it anywhere and for it to not be so big. It felt more achievable in being successful with something that was like a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
But I've seen you build your own cabinet doors, but you talk about white oak being expensive and you went to the store and you bought $400 of it. But I guess in perspective, thinking about buying a piece of furniture that's already made in white oak, like that's going to be thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yes. So when I told, I'm going to build a coffee table for us. So when I told my husband, I said, okay, we can either buy it for like $2,500 or I can build it for $400. Yes. So what would you like? He's like, yeah, I think you can make it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's fine. And it's going to last for,
forever.
You know, like my kids can take it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a family heirloom. You're essentially just making family heirlooms all of the time.
That's true. That's exactly. And that's why I love it, you know, and that's like, I hope I can encourage others to do the same things. And I know it's scary to first start off, like you saying you're using like the mini miter saw, and that's great. Like that's a great step to doing bigger projects and bigger things
and
being comfortable with it. Cause that's the thing is when you first set out, you're not 100% comfortable with doing everything. It's scary. I was scared to death to use a table saw when I first used a table saw.
So when you're teaching yourself something, how do you do it? Do you have books that you reference? Do you Google it? Do you go on YouTube like the rest of us?
Oh, YouTube University, 100%. Yes. YouTube University is the best way to go.
Yeah.
Like when I recently did like the bending wood, that kind of thing, it was 100% YouTube.
Let's talk about your nightstand. You just posted these nightstands, the waterfall edge nightstands. They're so modern. They're so chic. And I swear, Rebecca, it looks like you purchased them from the Crate and Barrel catalog and put them in your bedroom. Like,
oh, you're so sweet.
Just watching you go through the whole process. Where did you get the inspiration for that? And how long did it take you to make those? And what kind of wood did you use? And what kind of tools did you use?
It's actually a lot easier than you think it is.
Yeah.
Like I've done a lot harder projects than that one. And it might look really, really intimidating to people just because of that curve.
Yes. That curve looks hella fancy.
It looks scary to do. And I was scared going into it because I had never bent wood before, but I used red oak plywood, which is fairly inexpensive from Home Depot.
Did you use that because you knew you were going to paint it?
Yeah. Cause I was going to do a dark stain. And when you do, like I wanted the grain to show. So again, I was talking about the open grain woods.
Yeah.
Oak is open grain. So when you stain it, even black, it really shows the grain still. So I knew I wanted that. And it was like $80 a sheet for that. Oh. And then some red oak. So it was under $150 to do a nightstand.
Wow.
Versus like, I think I got the inspiration from, I'm sure you heard of Lulu in Georgia.
Oh, yes, of course. I drool over that catalog every time it comes to my house.
Oh, it's so bad. And they're like thousands and thousands of dollars for this stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I can't do it. I want a nice home. I want a pretty home, but I don't.
You don't want to put out the moolah.
I don't want to pay for it.
Yeah, I hear
you. And I enjoy building. Like, and when you see something that you built with your own two hands and your kids are using it and you're using it and you are just enjoying it, or like things I built for my family or my friends, like there's just something about that. Like, it's just so satisfying.
Yeah. You can be rightfully proud of yourself because there's this giant tangible thing that is a representation of all of your hard work. And I feel like it's kind of like when you make your own food, like when you make dinner, it tastes better than when your partner makes dinner because you've done it.
Yes,
like all the hard work came from your own blood, sweat, and tears.
Not me. I'm not good at making dinner. I don't make dinner.
Really? So you're
I can build badass furniture, but I can't make dinner.
You know what, honey? We all have our own strengths. That's so funny.
Right.
Okay. So let's say someone wants to put up some shelves in their closet, or maybe they even want to like dip their toe in the world of custom closets with like little cubbies and stuff like that. what type of wood would you use and what would be the main tools that you would buy for that project?
You really only need, you know, I would suggest plywood. So 3/4-inch plywood, probably. Yeah. You could, if you're painting it, you can do pine. I mean,
yeah.
Grab it from the store as inexpensive as you want, as long as it's not bowed.
Yes.
You know, you want to make sure that, or you can use MDF. MDF is also great. It's a little bit heavier. It's easy to paint, but it doesn't hold screws as well. So that's why I like using plywood.
And for anybody listening to this who doesn't know what MDF is, it's like manufactured wood. It's like basically, right, like sawdust that they've mixed with glue and like some sort of composite, and they press it all together like a grilled cheese sandwich.
Yes. And so if you're inhaling that when you're cutting it, wear a mask because it's toxic.
Yeah.
It's just not good for you. Pine's the way to go. I mean, plywood, you could do birch plywood. Birch plywood's also, it's very smooth and it's inexpensive.
Yes.
At really any hardware store.
Okay.
And then really you just need a circular saw and a straight edge. So if you want something inexpensive, I'd recommend a circular saw and then like a Craig AccuCut or their, what's that other one? The Rip Cut. That's what it is. But I like the AccuCut.
What's a straight edge?
So a straight edge is basically something that you line up the circular saw on to be able to make a straight cut.
Oh.
So to make a 90 degree cut so that you can get those accurate cuts for the shelves and for the sides of the cabinets.
Yeah.
And as long as you make straight cuts and you measure accurately, you're going to make an awesome closet. I mean, you can do so much just with those tools.
That's fabulous advice. Look at that. You really only need like two, and obviously like a hammer, screwdriver, you know, like the basics, but a straight edge.
Drill.
A straight edge and a circular saw. And if you just get comfortable enough with those two things, you could have a custom closet.
Yeah. And just screw in from the sides, screw and glue in from the sides of the cabinet because no one's going to see them.
Yeah.
And even if you're painting, you can slap some spackle on those holes.
Uh-huh.
Paint it and you're good. Like it doesn't need to be the super complicated thing.
Okay. You're such a wealth of knowledge. When you were learning to make cabinets, how did you learn that? Did you buy someone's plans? YouTube University? How did you do it?
So cabinets were probably my hardest thing. I was unbelievably scared to do a cabinet.
Yeah.
But my sister-in-law asked me for this gorgeous white oak cabinet. And I'm like, it's gorgeous.
Yeah.
I want to do it.
Yeah.
So I just took her drawings and I jumped in and I did it. And it scared the crap out of me. And it was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And it's not perfect. There's issues with the drawers now that I feel awful about. But she knew that, you know, she knew that was my first time doing it. But I just jumped in. And I think that's really the only one of the best ways to learn is jumping in and making mistakes. Mm-hmm. Now, I wouldn't recommend doing it on someone else's piece or with expensive wood, but
oh, I'm sure you gave
you live and you learn. You live and you learn.
I feel like too, when like nightstands, for instance, so you said you made your nightstands for $150 each approximately, right?
Yeah.
And I think of the ones that I bought online that are not solid wood, they're shoddily put together. They were still $150 each.
Yeah.
And so even if it's not perfect, something like that, you have something that's solid wood that you've made yourself. So if anything needs to be taken apart or fixed, you already have in your head the blueprint of what it is and you can easily do it. And it's so incredible to me that now you have this incredible time withstanding piece for the same what I paid for my MDF nightstands.
Yeah, I know.
It really makes the small investment in the tools worth it.
Yep.
Now, circular saws, I am deathly afraid of. Do you have the one where if you hit it with your finger, it stops moving?
No, I don't. You know, I have like the cheapest of cheap circular saw that you can get.
Okay.
Yes.
And it still works. It does everything you need, right?
Yeah, it does everything. But over time, like you're going to want to keep, like you're just going to become addicted to tools.
Yeah.
Because that's just what happens. Like you're like, oh, wait, but I could do something really awesome with a router. Let me buy like this and this and this and this. And it just becomes kind of an addiction. And you know, then what you turn into like a beginner, you turn into, you know, intermediate, and then you know, you keep going.
What, where can people find the plans that you offer on your website?
So it's on the blog on my website. It's at builtbybeck.com. Mm-hmm. And they're all free plans right now. And I'm hoping I continue.
You need to start.
Yes.
Girl.
I know. I'm going to eventually.
Especially for the vanity. I mean, like basically everything we talked about today on the pod, you could put into a woodworking for beginners worksheet, like 10 pages, and people would pay good money for it. I swear.
No, I don't even think about these things. And it's like, it's so funny because I love what I do. So
yeah.
I have to like think of other ways to monetize things, yeah. You know?
I hear that.
Maybe we need to have a conversation about that.
Hell yes. As long as you'll answer my questions when I call you up and I'm like, is it poplar or white oak or red oak?
Oh, yes. Definitely. Definitely.
And I don't know what to use for what. I know there's hardwoods and softwoods and open. Well, now I know the term open grain. And closed grain, but I think I knew that before because I bought cabinet fronts online and
No.
I only bought two to see how they were going to look. And when the two came, I was like, oh, these are pretty good. But then when I priced out my whole kitchen, it was going to be like $3,000 for the whole kitchen for painter grade. So I'm assuming that painter grade is a closed grain and it's probably mm-hmm. poplar, right?
MDF or poplar or something. Could be MDF.
I think I just called it poplar.
Poplar.
I'm a beginner over here.
But this is like, I love hearing all the beginner stuff too. Cause like, it's like, what can I do to help others learn to do what I do? Like, that's what I want
to
do.
It's like taking a time machine back to 2019 when you were building your table and you don't even remember that you had the questions that I had.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I love it.
So what are you working on now? Everybody, you need to follow Rebecca at Built by Beck, BEC Designs. Do you have any upcoming collaborations that you want to promote? Any special codes that you'd like to give out?
You know, I love Craig Jig, so I work with them a lot on plans. So I would totally recommend checking them out and getting, if you're a beginner, get a pocket hole jig.
A pocket hole jig?
Yes. You're not going to regret it.
I don't even know what a jig is. I don't know. What is it?
So a pocket hole jig is basically it allows you to make pocket holes so that you can join pieces of furniture together or pieces of wood together.
Are those little slanty holes that look like a water slide?
Yes. It's a little slanty hole that the thing goes in the other thing. And yes. And that's the easiest way to join wood that you're ever going to find. And it's great for beginners. So I highly recommend checking them out. It's less than $100 to actually buy one.
Okay.
And you can build literally anything with that.
What's the name of that tool again?
It's a pocket hole jig from Craig Jig.
I will put that in the show notes. Again, at Built by Beck Designs. Rebecca Janis, a round of applause for you because I feel like you've just cleared up a lot of fears and questions about getting started with woodworking and furniture building today.
Oh, I love that. I'm happy to help. And I thank you for having me. This is awesome. I have never been on a podcast, so you know.
Oh, my goodness. Well, there's a first for everything.
Yes.
come back anytime you have anything to promote. And I hope that we get a chance to talk to you soon.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Kathleen.
And as always, everything that we chatted about and more, you can find it in our show notes on whatever podcast app you're listening to. Recently, I was a guest on the hilarious podcast, Bad Behavior with Sterling Mulberry and Blair Payton. You might recognize Blair's name from my old podcast, An Acquired Taste. He was on there a few times. The episode is called Going Into Her Phone, and I admit some pretty shameful behavior, something so personal that I didn't think I would ever share with the world, share with a friend, much less put on a freaking podcast. Blair and Sterling, they are hilarious, and I'll link over to my guest spot in our show notes. And if you have some time today or maybe this week, I would be so, so grateful if you could leave a review for this podcast wherever you listen to it. Give it 5 stars. I'm kind of scared embarking on my first solo podcast, but I couldn't ask for a more wonderful audience. If you're on Facebook and you want to join a community of fellow DIY lovers and creatives, just search Kathleen Can Do It and our DIY group will come up. Post pictures of projects you're working on around your house or any creative things that you have going on in your life. People in there are serving up 5-star advice. Send the pod an email with your burning design questions. Our new email address is heythere@kathleencandoit.com. Join the newsletter for insider tips on home decor sales, controversial design stories in the news, behind-the-scenes pics of my latest DIY disasters, and more. You can sign up at kathleencandoit.com/newsletter. And don't forget, if I can do it, you can do it too.